7704 or on the web at thecorkscrew.com. WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:45 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It is the first Wednesday of the month and has been our great pleasure for a long time here to talk about cooking on this day with the man that we like to call our chef in residence. And let me point out to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is purely an honorary title. His name is Joe Moore, and he's been stopping by here for a long time, every month on the first Wednesday, and we always have a good time. And the way this works is that he, and when I say we, I mean he, picks a topic, something to talk about. And we've talked about different kinds of dishes, cooking from different places, sometimes a key ingredient, and we've talked about what you can do with that, and encourage people to call in and tell us whatever stories they like, exchange cooking tips, and exchange recipes. This time around, he said he would like to talk about avocados. And I'm sure that you hear avocado and right away, the very first thing that people are going to think about is guacamole. But there are a lot of different things you can do with avocados, many different things, including various kinds of salsas and sauces and soups and spreads. And even I'm given to understand that there are places around the world where they make avocado milkshakes and even use them and make sweet desserts with them. So there are lots and lots of different things that you can do with them beyond guacamole. So that's sort of the topic here this morning, avocados beyond guacamole. And if you have a recipe that you'd like to share or would just like to call in and say hi, well, you could certainly do that too. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Well, was there something in particular that started you thinking about avocados?
Only probably that we've never talked about them as a specific, okay. You know, I keep looking for something things without
never
without repeating too many things. And that and the help that I get from my magazines as they come in. This month had an avocado on the front cover of Eating Well. So that was my April-May edition. And I always look through those magazines because, strangely enough, they anticipate exactly what I want to talk about, and I use that as a source sometimes. And then I got to thinking about all the times that avocados have been used and in my own life. I remember the very first time that I ever ate one. We were in my Grapes of Wrath mode when we moved from Oklahoma to California, and we're driving down the road in California, and here's an avocado stand. Had no idea what an avocado was. And so Daddy decided that we should stop and that Mother and I should have an avocado. And I'm curious to try to remember what my real response was. I believe I kind of liked it, but it was very peculiar because it's very a very rich thing. Yeah. And a Kansas boy going down the road munching on an avocado is not a picture that you often think of. But then we went through the guacamole craze, but then they've been used a whole lot in other forms. You were describing the milkshake. That's a Filipino dish to put in sugar and milk and sugar and milk and the avocado and make a smoothie out of it. Mm-hmm. And that extends it. Myself, I'm very, very fond of a spoon and the half of avocado, but I have a secret I will confess to buying a dressing. The Kraft Greek vinaigrette. Now, they've changed the recipe of that, which I'm a little bit disappointed in, but the flavor is still as good as it was. They made it a little thicker with more gum tragacanth or something, and I'm not very overwhelmed by that. But I remember buying it very early on, and not only that, I have a friend in Connecticut that can't buy it there, so every time they're here, we go and buy a supply of the Kraft Greek vinaigrette, and you just pour that into the well of the avocado, and then eat it with a spoon, taking a little bit. Oh, is that so good? And I don't think that I could make a vinaigrette that would please me as much as that one does with the avocado. Mm-hmm. I like it with some other things. I like that dressing with artichokes as well, as a matter of fact. And that's a staple that I keep is that Kraft Greek vinaigrette. Mm. But I love the avocado with a spoon. There's something exotic about it. Well, it is exotic.
Well, I've seen that done with soy sauce. Just put the soy sauce into the
oh my,
well.
That sounds awfully strong to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But I do like that idea of a vinaigrette or something like that.
Yeah.
Some kind of sauce, some sort of condiment.
The first time I had that, now that I remember why I like that so much, the first time I had that was in Switzerland, in Geneva, I think. We had a half an avocado served that way. I was very surprised. But there you are. And there are a whole lot of different kinds. And what was the old name for avocado? Do you remember?
Alligator pear.
Alligator pear, yeah. And I never could figure out what that meant, but I remember learning that word early on. Uh-huh. And then it was in the 20s, the kind that we get now, the ones with the black wrinkly, the Haas, black wrinkly ones, those have only been around since the 20s. Some kids found the tree in an avocado grove, and this tree was very, very special, and then all of it has taken from that, and that is the kind that is grown the most in California, or Haas.
Huh.
And so that has not been around very long. So you see, even in our lifetime, it has become popular.
And it is an old world, I mean a new world.
Plant. Yes,
and was taken from here pretty early on when Europeans came here. It was taken here for other places, but it is something that originated in Central.
Yes, it was.
I think in Central America,
yes.
Central or South America.
So then the Spanish took it back.
Yeah. Questions here, comments, recipes, welcome. You want
any response? Any response to an avocado? We're happy to talk about it.
333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana, and toll free 800-222-9455.
My college roommate married a Cuban woman, and at the festivities that we had, I learned about a guacamole. And what that is guacamole, only it's in great big chunks. Chunks are about 3/4 of an inch chunks. And you very carefully mix it so that you don't break up the chunks, and you're eating large pieces of it. But it has exactly the same, some onion and some tomato and maybe some hot sauce, things like that. The guacamole, and I remember learning that in New York City.
New York City?
New York City!
What do they know about guacamole?
Well, I think they know a lot.
Yeah, probably so. Well, that's and when I one of the things that I did, and I always do when we do this, is I go out looking for recipes.
Uh-huh.
And went to this website that I like, the Epicurious site, and it seemed like there were a lot of things that were salsas that were involving big chunks, pieces of avocado mixed in with other kinds of things, you know, black beans, corn, tomato,
yes.
You know, all kinds
yes.
of things, and have everything sort of in chunks.
That is a new addition to American cuisine, too, is that we're accepting those things, going out a little bit farther. That's why I thought there might be some folks to talk about today.
Well, we have someone right
Good.
Here, as a matter of fact, in Champaign, and this is line number one. Hello.
Hey, actually, I'm wondering if either of you have ever tried a zapote, which is the sweet version of the avocado. And I ran into it across when I was in Guatemala. Same texture, but sweet. Really good.
And so the flesh is sweet rather than the oily one that we know? Is
yeah,
that what you mean?
Sweet, and they're reddish on the outside.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
You're missing out. Really good.
Oh, boy. What's it called again?
Zapote.
Zapote.
Yeah, with a Z. The other thing
zapote.
is I mean, there are other varieties of fruit all across, you know, the Americas.
Oh, yes.
But only so many of them make it here because, I guess, you know, corporations filter out what taste that we're allowed to have, huh?
Well, I don't know as that as much. They might, some of them might not travel as well, and they just simply have to stay there. So I don't know exactly the way they're grown. I remember picking them on a tree in Hawaii, and that was kind of fun to go out and pick your own fresh avocado. But I don't ever remember finding them in California. I know they're there, but I have an idea that they're so fragile because you know they're so delicate. When you get them, you have to really kind of take care of them, or else they dry up or they spoil or what. You have to take very good care of them.
Yeah. Well,
so I my guess would be they don't travel very well. Like good French wine, they stay there. That's good.
The other funny story I have about avocado trees are when I was a kid, I noticed that our dog would stay away from the tree at a certain time of the year.
Oh.
And that's because they fall down and they're pretty big, you know.
Well, yes. Oh, and so he was getting bombed by avocados out of the sky. Well, that's good.
Okay. Well,
do you have any recipes that you, I mean, or do you, tell me how you prepared and ate them?
The sweet ones, I was just eating straight out from the market. Here, what we do is we cut up tomato, onion, squeeze of lemon, some salt, and sometimes we put a little bit of sour cream.
And some sour cream, uh-huh. And then mash that up.
Just mash it up.
Yes. That's awfully good, isn't it?
It's delicious. And actually, nutritionists are now saying that you know, the fat in the avocados are good for you.
Yes, it is, because it is monounsaturated, for the most part. Two-thirds of the fat. There's a lot of fat in it, but two-thirds of it is monounsaturated.
Well,
so that makes it good.
I was so excited when my nutritionist said that, because I had to.
That does make you feel good when you can have something you think, oh, I should not have that. So I give myself a treat. I eat the whole avocado. my treat is, I'll take this half. That was so good. I think I'll have the other half.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. That's, you know, that's interesting, because I think, too, I had for a long time heard that same thing, that it was very heavy in fat, and so that would be the kind of thing that you could have every once in a while, but you wouldn't want to have lots and lots. And so it sounds like maybe it's the same kind of fat that you have in olive oil. It's monounsaturated.
An avocado is 160 calories, which is...
Is that a lot?
If you realize that the whole avocado is 300, yes.
No, well, that yeah.
300 calories is about a third of a hamburger of the one that has 1,000 calories. So, yeah, it could be... But it's good, and you eat it. I don't eat one every day. And right now I don't have any in the house. So I may go get some today. Mm-hmm. I like to buy them in the bags of about 4 or 5 and keep them around.
What do you think is the best way to keep them? I think, is there not some conversation about, do you put it in the refrigerator or not?
I don't know that. I don't. I figure they're left outside. They're not in a cooler. I just leave them out and try to eat them up. So I guess the best way to take care of them is...
I guess so. Well, that seems to be the philosophy in our house. It's Mrs. Inge who seems to be the big avocado eater in our house. I think that that's what she does. I have never known her, unless she really thinks she's not going to eat it right away. I don't think I've ever known her to put it in the fridge. Just set it on a shelf somewhere and then try to get to it quick.
If you... if you cut the avocado, and get it prepared, you may want to squeeze some lemon juice on it, because that'll keep it from browning.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it looks pretty nasty
when it
sits around and oxidizes, and you don't necessarily like that.
Yeah. Well, it's probably one of those things that you want to eat it right then and not try to save it for posterity or later.
You could push the avocado eating, I mean, as a as a chunk that you're going to eat, you can push that a little bit farther in two ways. Take any guacamole that you make of any sort and stuff deviled eggs with the yolks gone and use the guacamole for that. And that's a real good taste. And another one would be to take tuna salad and put it in the half of the avocado.
Ah.
Those are two things from my little magazine.
Very good.
So,
it's the first Wednesday of the month and has been our pleasure for a long time here in the 10 o'clock hour, first Wednesday, to talk about cooking with this man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And this time around, he said, well, he'd be interested in talking about avocados, not simply talking about them, but also hear what other people like to do with them and to go beyond the very first thing. I think it's likely the first thing that people will think about to do with an avocado one. Well, that is make it into guacamole or maybe just eat it all by itself with some kind of little sauce or a condiment. There are a lot of things, different things that people do with them. So maybe you have a good avocado recipe to share. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. We have some other folks here getting lined up. Stewardson is the next caller on our toll free line, line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Well, get your pens out.
I've got my pencil in my hand.
I have an impressive recipe.
All right.
Impress your friend. And it's lavender chicken with avocado cream sauce.
Oh, my.
It's from the Lavender cookbook. I don't know where you can get this cookbook. I got it at the Botanical Gardens in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
But I bought the last one they had. There's lots of good recipes in this cookbook, by the way.
Lavender
okay,
chicken. Lavender chicken. All right,
with
yes.
avocado cream sauce.
Yeah.
1 pound dry linguine pasta.
1 pound of linguine.
6 tablespoons unsalted butter.
6 tablespoons. Okay.
Unsalted butter. 1 1/2 pounds boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Chicken breast, yes.
A little bit of sea salt and ground pepper.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 pound crimini mushrooms.
Okay. A 1/4 pound. And are those dry or fresh?
Let's see. I don't think I use crimini. I think, let's see, which ones are the portobellos?
Well,
Is that crimini?
The baby ones are.
Yeah, okay, then I guess I do.
Yes.
I use fresh ones.
Fresh. 1/4 pound, all right.
Uh-huh. 1 tablespoon of minced shallot.
And 1 tablespoon, 1 big tea.
And 1 tablespoon of lavender buds, which you can grow that. I grow it. And then I dry it, you know, for the wintertime.
I get mine from the south of France.
Oh, well. I don't even
Not everyone can go to the south of France to get their lavender now.
Yes. So 1 tablespoon of lavender.
Mm-hmm. 1 cup of heavy cream.
1 cup of cream.
And 1/3 cup of chicken broth.
And 1/3 cup of broth.
2 tablespoons cognac or brandy.
All right.
2 ripe avocados.
Oh, yes.
2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice.
And 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, yes.
1 cup of crumbled gorgonzola cheese.
Uh-oh.
Why?
That sounds great. That was a surprise.
This is an impressive recipe. And 1/3 cup of unsalted pistachio nuts.
Oh, 1/3 cup of pistachio, yes.
And then a little bit of fresh parsley.
And parsley. My.
Okay, cook the pasta. Let's see. I forget how to do it. I haven't done it for a while. Okay. Okay, then put some of the butter in it, keep it from sticking.
Right.
Of course, I'm just going to give you how they do it in the recipe book, but you have to do your own timing for it.
Oh, sure.
While the pasta water boils, cut each chicken breast into some strips.
Into strips, yeah.
Put some butter in the skillet and cook that a little bit.
Okay.
Add the mushroom, shallot, lavender to the skillet.
And let's see, the mushrooms and the, let's see, when we get down here, mushrooms and... And shallots. Yes, that was next, yes.
Remove the chicken and set that aside. And oh no, I guess you do that before you put the mushrooms in it. Then you start making the sauce, and then
okay.
some mushrooms, shallots, and lavenders. Mix the cream, broth, and the cognac.
Yes.
Stir that for a little bit in salt and pepper, and then dice the avocados and stir into the skillet.
So they're going to end up as chunks, not mashed up. Then
right.
Okay. Good. Diced. Yes.
And then you just put it all over the pasta.
All right. And now, where does the gorgonzola?
Oh, and then you garnish with the pistachios, parsley.
And the gorgonzola?
And you can also, right, and then you can, I think the gorgonzola goes into it. I think I've always put the
It goes in with the
it.
With the cream and the lavender.
I think so, yeah.
And the broth, yes.
Right.
I would think so,
because
it wants to melt up a little bit, yes.
Right. And then on the top you put the pistachio
and parsley.
And then you put another wedge of, save a wedge of avocado. Too.
Okay, that'd be kind of pretty on top. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a very impressive, but I tell you what, I've impressed most people the very most if you just cut an avocado in half, squirt key lime juice on it.
Oh, yes.
Salt and pepper, and people forgot, you know, how just a plain avocado.
You're absolutely right. I'm.
But they say, oh, it's so good. It's so good. Ooh, I need it myself.
That's good. Well, this is exotic. You're right. Lavender chicken with
yeah.
an avocado sauce.
Oh, it's good.
I'm looking forward to that because
yeah,
you've got everything in there I like. Brandy and avocado and gorgonzola and pistachios and, oh, yes, chicken.
Yes, that's right. Everything you like.
Yes.
All in one thing.
Yes. Well, thank you very
okay.
much.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call.
That's a treat.
We're about our midpoint here. We have some other folks
oh,
we need to get to. I just real quick want to mention apparently somebody who called in with a comment who thought that the best way to eat avocado is to eat it with crab meat.
Oh, well.
And I know you could, for example, you could make crab salad and put
yes.
it in the well when you take the pit out.
There it is, a stuffed avocado right there
yeah.
with favorite seafood or chicken salad.
Yeah.
Crab.
So you could
that
do
would be good, a
chicken
crab,
salad,
a crab.
Tuna salad, crabs, and
yes.
any of those things would work well. And you can use the just, you know, use the place where the pit comes out and just kind of jam it on there. You got some.
Now, hey, do you know the quick and easy way and painless way of getting the seed out?
I have seen it done. Yes, indeed. Well, you slice through, slice all around, taking your knife up to the
right.
to the pit.
And then you twist it.
You twist it apart, and then you take the knife and just whack it, be gentle, and right into the pit.
And then
in the edge and just give it a little twist.
And then gives it a twist and
comes
it's out.
Right out.
Then the next thing you do is that you put toothpicks in it and put it in water and let it grow.
I have not done that in years.
In years, but you remember doing
it. Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I say that is that I have just recently found a recipe for Mexican cooking that uses dried avocado leaves.
Really?
And so that you could, if you had a little avocado bush that you were, yeah. you know, you don't, you clip off a leaf and you use it. I was very surprised that was a spice, a Mexican spice.
Hmm.
Never seen it available in a store. So I think it's because you have your own.
The problem that I always had, I hadn't done this in years and years. The problem that I always seem to have is that the plant would grow up
yep.
and it would do okay, but it would lose its leaves. And then pretty soon I would get this stick that had about four leaves
oh,
right
yes,
at the top.
On the top. Well, it's not very easy.
There must be some trick to
well,
it.
Well, I think at a particular point you would want to put it in dirt.
Oh. And maybe
and
also,
I never did that.
You also, maybe you want to be pinching it back at some point
yeah,
so it would divide,
yeah.
so it would, you know, bush out some more. I don't know.
I'm not keen on that, but I do think I think I'm going to try it because I want to try something with avocado leaves.
Oh, you'll have to grow your own plant to get the
grow
leaves.
Your own.
All right. Well, let's talk with some more of the folks who are listening. And next, we have someone in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hey, good topic so far. Two quick notes. One is that to keep the avocado from browning, just keep the pit with it.
Oh, that's right. Keep the pit inside.
I'm not really sure why or how that works.
I don't either, but I think I've seen that written so many times that it must work. I don't know what it does.
It does. It extends at least for a couple of days. It won't last forever still, but at least you got a couple of extra days.
My problem is, hey, I cut an avocado. I'm going to eat that. So the idea of the need of keeping it, I don't have that need.
Gotcha. We happened to have an avocado left over the other day when we were having garlic bread. So we mixed the avocado in with the garlic and butter and put that on bread. And it was really a delight. It was a surprise, a great texture. Nice flavor with the garlic in there.
And the garlic, yeah.
So it's just a roasted garlic, that was.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a nice way to have avocado and to jazz up your garlic bread. A little different.
That sounds very good. Well, thank you.
There it is. Thanks.
That's a good recipe.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to White Heath, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Is this strictly a discussion of avocado?
No.
No.
Okay, Doyle, I have a question. I made these cupcakes. I know this might be really simple for you, but anyway, I had to make them twice because both of them were failures. And my husband and I looking at the recipe, and it called for 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda.
Yes.
And they totally exploded in the oven and dripping down through the grates, everything. And so I thought, well, maybe I screwed up. So I tried it again.
What did you use as liquid?
I had 1/3 cup of milk, 3 eggs. And raspberry syrup, red raspberry.
Yeah.
They were chocolate raspberry cupcakes. They're supposed to be, and they tasted really good. It was really, really good taste. But even the second time I made them, I thought, well, maybe fill the cupcake things less full. Still, all over. They just exploded on me. So I thought maybe it was a typo in the recipe.
My thought is you don't generally use soda by itself. You use soda with buttermilk because one's acid and one's alkali, and it makes the foam and makes the gas, and that's what causes it to rise. You generally use baking powder with milk.
Well, so I looked in the Joy, you know, because I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? And right, there was rarely baking soda with stuff.
Right.
Do you think it could have been a typo?
I think that it might have been. Because you see, baking soda is a weird word. Soda bicarbonate is what it's generally called. And they may have written baking and meaning powder and put baking soda, and then no one would recognize it because it looks and sounds real, even when they're checking the text.
Right. Yeah,
I think it would be because I can't recall using soda without a sour cream or without buttermilk. And I was sort of surprised by a recipe on muffins the other day where it uses both baking powder and soda. But it uses buttermilk. I would kind of guess that.
I mean, I don't mind doing it again, but now I'm just wasting a lot of money because it's, chocolate squares and blah, 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 you know, and it's I keep throwing the stuff away. My garage smells really good. I mean, really good.
Then
down there with a cup of coffee, but.
Then change that to baking powder, and I think you'll be more successful.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Thank you. We will continue and next talk with someone in Champaign on line 3. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I don't know if you guys are as addicted to food TV as I am.
Yes.
But, yes.
Yes.
Watch which?
A show called Good Eats.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Well, he did a whole show on the avocado.
Oh, I missed it.
If you go to their website, foodtv.com, and go to, select a show.
Right.
And search for the episode. There's recipes on there for avocado flavored icing, like to ice a cake with, and avocado flavored ice cream.
Oh my!
So
well, he would do that. He would do that.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds pretty good. I haven't tried it yet, but I plan to.
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that there are some places that they do use some places where they make avocado milkshakes, some places in the world, and that there are also some places where they make sweet desserts with avocado. So I guess there's precedent.
Yeah, I think it would taste pretty good.
I do too. Ice cream. Yeah, ice. Now the place that makes crazy ice cream is the Japanese Iron Chefs.
Oh yeah. Oh,
they're
yes.
always
they're
making
always making
they're
strange
making
ice cream.
Chicken ice cream and fish head ice cream.
Yeah.
So I guess avocado wouldn't hurt at all. That's good.
All right. Well, I'm enjoying the show. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a recipe here for diced papaya, avocado, and jicama with toasted walnuts and raspberry vinaigrette. See, that would be
like a
fruit salad, but it has the avocado chunks in it.
Huh.
Doesn't that sound good?
Mm.
Of course, I'm fond of raspberry vinaigrette. I also think I would throw some raspberries in. Raspberries with raspberry vinaigrette is about the end of the world for me. It's so good.
Okay, let's talk with somebody else here.
Yeah.
Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I love that recipe for lavender chicken.
Doesn't that sound good?
I always hang back when it says a cup of heavy cream. Do you think there's any way of doing something less caloric and cholesterol? Probably.
Now, I say this with a little bit of hesitation because I'm not sure if the chemistry of all those things going together would work. But
yes.
I have used a lot of the fat-free half and half.
That'd be worth it.
But in some recipes, but because of the way you cook it,
yes,
it separates.
Okay.
And that's a bad thing. So
yes.
you have to watch half and half.
Okay.
It'll want to separate. But I believe I would give that a try.
Well, I just typically, when it says heavy cream, I just turn the page. Because
You know what I do? I found in the Mexican market and out at Walmart, I found the Mexican crema fresca.
Oh,
it's so double thick you can't stand it. It's so good, and I use it.
Uh-huh. Well,
I don't use great quantities of it.
Yes.
It's generally half cups.
Sure.
Not a full cup of that. But it is so tasty and so thick. That
you always push us a bit.
just a bit. Yes,
okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
All right, thanks for the call. Now, is that kind of like what we'd recognize as sour cream?
No.
It's
but
not.
Right next to it is a sour cream in a bottle. It's almost identical to it. One of them's red and one of them's green. And I bought the sour cream one day, and curiously enough, I couldn't tell that it was sour. It wasn't as acidic as, but it said it was the sour cream. And the other is called table cream. And I use the thick cream. But I haven't quite sorted all that out. I didn't want to mess with it because it was so good. I wasn't going to fight with it. Whatever I get. And in fact, one day I used a bit of the sour cream, and I didn't have any of the sweet cream. I used the sour cream, and it was perfectly all right. Because small amounts, but it makes a sauce that is just ultimate. Absolutely ultimate.
Now, what about using a plain unflavored yogurt? Or would you get the same kind of chemical problems?
Well, I see, it's going to be more acid.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And I don't know what that would do, but plain unflavored yogurt is used not as a substitute. You're actually using yogurt for yogurt, and that's a flavor you would want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know using yogurt as a substitute for something like that. But I wouldn't be afraid to use yogurt if I wanted that yogurt taste to happen.
Yeah. On again.
Yogurt and mayonnaise makes an awfully good dressing. Mm. How about yogurt and mayonnaise and crab stuffed into an avocado? You heard it here.
We are your service today. Our specials. Let me tell you about our specials. Let's go to Champagne in line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, let's bring it up to date. I've got an avocado beef tortilla pizza.
Wow.
It's a quick pizza made
yes.
with those Mexican flour tortillas.
Yes, all right, tortillas.
All you do is brush both sides of the tortilla with olive oil, pile on the toppings, and bake in a hot oven. And the crust are kind of thin and chewy.
And yes. Now, what's the toppings you put on?
Here's the ingredients.
Yes.
A half a pound of lean ground beef, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, a small clove or garlic mixed or pressed, 1/8 pound of mushroom sliced, 2 tablespoons of green chili salsa,
green chili salsa,
about 8-inch size, olive oil or salad oil you can brush them with.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 cup of chopped onions and green pepper, 1 can of sliced olives, drained, 1/4 pound of jack or mozzarella cheese, and a fourth cup of grated Parmesan. And then you take an avocado peel pit and cut it into thin slices. You crumble the beef into a wide frying pan, stir it over medium heat until it's brown. Then you drain off the grease.
Oh, yes.
Add salt, garlic, mushrooms, chili, salsa. Cook, stirring over, make kind of a high heat until liquid is evaporated.
Right, it's going to go away.
It takes about 3 minutes for that. Then you brush the tortillas lightly with olive oil on both sides. Make sure you get to the edges. Keep the slices apart when you bake them.
Oh, yeah.
Spread meat mixture evenly over them. Then scatter onions on top of them with the green pepper and sliced olives. Kind of make sure you get it evenly distributed over them. Then add a little Parmesan. You bake it into a 475-degree oven until the cheese melts and browns.
475,
it takes
yes.
about 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Arrange the avocado slices over the pizza tops. Pass sour cream and really enjoy them because it's a really delightful taste and something new.
Well, it is to have that cooked and then to put the avocado on and not cook that.
Right, yes.
That would be the treat because I've been anxious about in looking at the things that I can find. Avocados don't seem to cook very well except in a soup when you've got some other stuff with them and it's all blended up. So I was curious what you were going to do with the avocado. That's good.
Yeah. You can also use the avocado mixed in with ground beef and fried. It works out okay that way. I've got a couple of those recipes, but I'll give somebody else a chance today.
Okay.
This is really a delightful taste and makes a neat sandwich. A lot of children really go for it.
And it's instant.
You bet, 20 minutes.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, our monthly show on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month, have been for a long time with this man. We like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore is his name, and we pick some topic. He picks some topic, and then we talk about that and sometimes exchange recipes and always have a good time. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about avocados, and particularly take it beyond guacamole and the kind of conventional thing that you might think of. What are some of the different things that you could do with avocado? 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I want to mention Joan Harshberger came in here and gave me a recipe, and I'm not sure if this is one that is hers that she did, but just as an example of a kind of a salsa that you could do. This is an avocado and corn salsa.
Oh, yes.
And it's just a basic thing where you're combining the ingredients together, and it calls for a pound package of frozen corn, which is thawed, some black olives, 2 cans black olives, a medium-sized sweet bell pepper, a red bell pepper, a small onion, 5 cloves garlic, and then some vegetable oil, lemon juice, cider vinegar, some oregano, salt, black pepper, and your avocados. And essentially what you're just doing is combining all the ingredients, cutting them up and putting them together and making up a vinaigrette and tossing that. And there you got it. And I'm sure that people could manipulate this different ways depending on what it is they would like to have in there. There are different kinds of things. You could put less garlic if you wanted less. You could put different sorts of things in there. If you're not a great olive fan, I suppose, you don't have to put that. So it's one of those things that you could kind of do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, it ends up being however you want to refine it. And the best part is, with that, you get fiber, vitamin C, and potassium. Gotcha.
That's a fine thing, fiber, vitamin C, and potassium. Sure, I'm all for that.
That's it.
and we're all being told that we need to be eating more fresh vegetables.
Well,
so
but that's exactly it. And you know what? We are eating more fresh vegetables, and we're eating more fresh fruit. Let's see. What has gone down? Beef has gone down. Chicken has gone up.
Consumption
of it. Chicken has gone up and beef has come down. And pork and fish are at the bottom, but they kind of go along about level. They haven't changed. Mm. This was in my nutrition magazine I saw yesterday. They had all kinds of new things, and that fruits and vegetables are climbing. There's more use of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
So we are paying attention.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that in our household we eat less beef now than we used to. I mean, we do eat meat and we like meat, but I think we're eating less beef. We really like that pork tenderloin. I'm telling you, that's a great thing.
Oh, yes,
pork tenderloin is a great thing.
Yes, it is.
You can do a lot of different things with it. There's no waste, pretty much, and it's also very the pork tenderloin that you get now is very, very lean. And you can even I know people sometimes they get freaked out about this, but you know it can be a little pink. It's okay.
Yes,
get your internal temperature.
Yeah,
good,
we're not in 1920 anymore.
No, it's not. We don't feed garbage to the pigs anymore. So I guess we don't quite have to worry about. I mean, I'm not going to eat pork sushi, but no, it's okay if it's still a little bit pink.
I don't think anyone eats pork sushi.
Raw pork. No, I don't think you want to.
Carpaccio. We have beef that is eaten raw.
Yeah.
But I don't think pork.
Yeah. Speaking of the Iron Chef's guy, I know one time I saw that it was around Thanksgiving there, and they were doing turkey, and someone did something with raw turkey. I was horrified, but anyway, we have time for other callers here, 333-9455 or toll-free 800-222-9455. You haven't really actually given a recipe, have you?
Yeah, the papaya and avocado salad.
Oh, yes. Is there something else that sort of caught your attention as being interesting?
Or? How about a raspberry avocado smoothie, which is avocado pureed with orange juice and raspberry juice and frozen raspberries in a blender. I mean, that again. And with that, you get vitamin C, fiber, and folate and potassium. You would have to know that I'm reading these notes from my magazine.
Yes, he's not just making that up.
No.
or pulling it out of from his memory bank.
A fruit smoothie. But then the avocado would add a certain amount of oil to it,
mm-hmm.
which would be, I think, because... Like ice cream without fat really isn't good, although there's some non-fat ice creams that I do tolerate because I must. But I should think that'd be kind of a good thing to have.
Well, we got some other people here.
Yes.
We'll see how many we can get in the time that remains. The next caller in line is in Southern Illinois on our line 4, toll-free line right here. Hello.
I have two questions. Can you suggest a marinade for the pork loin you were talking about? And I've got some Southern friends coming up from Kentucky this weekend. I'd like never made biscuits and gravy if anybody has a recipe off the top of their head. And I'll hang up and listen.
Biscuits and gravy wants to be made, I think it's with sausage. Now, my sister likes to use hamburger because I guess she doesn't want to use sausage. But biscuits and gravy is a kind of it's not really a leftover, but it isn't a full-blown entree either. That has come to us through the truck drivers and Southern truck drivers at that, who came up as far as here. And I remember when you couldn't get biscuits and gravy in this town, except at a truck stop south of town about 20 miles. And what it is a cream gravy or what used to be called sawmill gravy, where you use drippings. But if you don't use drippings, you can use margarine and mix and make a roux of drippings and flour, and brown that just a little bit. Equal amount of drippings, equal amount of flour, and brown that just a bit, and then put in milk and bring it up to the thickness, and that becomes the gravy, and then have some prepared sausage, and I would use bulk sausage, and you can put as much or as little as you want in it, and lots of salt and pepper. Yeah, lots of salt. Well, not a lot of salt, a lot of pepper. That's a very quick, easy thing that was made. I don't remember my mother ever made that, though. I don't think that is a 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s taste. It's it's much later, and it's much later in this part of the country too than it. But it's a very old Southern thing. Generally, it would be made using the sausages that you didn't use the day before, so you'd have that already fried. You could chop them up and make a quick gravy. Okay. That's about as fast as you can get.
Okay.
And there are good biscuits. You know, there's some very good frozen biscuits that are already cooked and frozen, not the kind that come in the can that you hit on the side of the sink, but frozen biscuits. And they tend to be awfully good. You can put them in the microwave or heat them up very quickly, and that's instantly done too. So biscuits and gravy would be an easy thing to make real fast.
Yeah, okay.
Like it.
All right. As far as the pork tenderloin goes, I think there are so many different ways you can do it. I just happened to make pork tenderloin, cooked it on the grill, the barbecue grill, last night. And I have sort of a standard marinade that I do with pork and sort of also with chicken. And there's not that much to it. It's olive oil and red wine vinegar, and then thyme, oregano, paprika, cumin, a little coriander.
Wow.
And garlic powder and onion powder. And that's sort of like my version of Emeril's essence. The only
exactly.
thing that it doesn't have, well, his essence doesn't have the cumin and coriander, but his Southwest blend does. The only thing that I don't put in there that some people might want to put in would be salt and pepper.
And
he's got, I think, both black pepper and cayenne is in the essence. But other than that, that's pretty much what that is. And you can sort of, you know, I just kind of sprinkle a little bit in. I don't measure. The one thing I would say is watch out with coriander because it's a very strong taste. So
yes.
You just want to go easy
good
on that.
Though.
But it is good that, yes. And I think all those things work nicely together. And generally I just, you know, put in the vinegar and the oil and put the meat in the bowl and kind of slash it around in there and sprinkle the seasonings on there. And I may or may, so sometimes I may not put in the cumin if I'm not looking for that kind of taste.
Now, that's a wet marinade that you use. There's another possibility, and that is just get a jar of the most common Creole spice. It's called Creole spice. That's all it is. And it has a lot of what you have in it, but without something. And put it on as a dry rub instead. A little olive oil so it'll stick, and put that on as a dry rub. And that's really good for cooking meat on the grill.
Yeah. And then if you have the time, what you can do is you can start and do the dry rub first. If you can let that sit overnight, then the next day,
don't believe I've done
you can come in long. With and then add some wet ingredients like
yes.
some oil and vinegar. And if you can then marinate it for a few more hours, then that's you can do
oh,
that
boy.
If you can take that much time.
Sure.
Otherwise, you can just if you've got 20-30 minutes, you can do it. But if you can do it and let it sit, that's also good as well. It's good with your flank steak.
Oh,
you do your dry rub, you let that sit overnight. You come back with wet marinade. You do that for another 3, 4, 5 hours if you can, and then you slap that on the grill and. That, my friend, is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
All right. Let's go to, let's see, Philo, I believe, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I wanted to put in a plug for grapefruit and avocado salad.
Uh-oh.
Very simple, mixed with nice crisp lettuce and a lemonade vinaigrette.
A lemonade vinaigrette?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Oh, just lemon juice and oil.
Oh, I see. Okay, lemon juice and oil. And grapefruit and avocado, okay. D-O, yes. Lemon juice and oil. That sounds very good.
That's an excellent salad.
Yeah. Any pepper or salt?
No, I never have done that.
With the grapefruit, salt
right.
would help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thought. Grapefruit and avocado, good. That would be nice. That'd be a nice fresh taste. When would you have that as a salad at night or
yes
or breakfast food?
No, just as a salad.
Okay.
Very good with a chicken meal.
Oh, that would be yeah, like a citrus with a chicken. That would be good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. We'll see if we can do at least one more here. We have a caller, McLean County, line two. Hello.
Hi. I'm going off the topic, but a question. Can you tell me what palm kernel oil is versus palm oil.
I'm thinking real hard, and I cannot come up with an answer. Palm kernel, I'm not sure what that means unless unless they are really the same thing.
Okay.
I don't know. The palm oils, is that Caribbean cooking that you're doing?
No,
or
no.
South America?
No, I just saw it on a label of some margarine or something.
Oh.
And I've been really curious, and I thought maybe you knew about the palm
no.
kernel, because I'd never heard of a palm kernel oil.
I haven't either, but my guess, and I can't think of where a kernel would come from a palm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a nut. There isn't a palm nut. But my feeling is that's a South American or Caribbean taste, palm oil and such. I don't know.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you. And we're going to have to stop there, I'm sorry to say. We've used the time. However, if you will drop us a line, we'll see if we can get a couple of recipes here written up and send to you.
And you, too, can be an advocate of the avocado.
You know what they call avocados in Japan?
What?
Avocados.
Oh!
Don Hamor is the man we like to call our chef in residence. He's here every month on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We talk about cooking. Always have a good time. Thank you very much for being here. Our program here is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and the coffee bar. Programming also made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, featuring performances by the gifted jazz saxophonist Joshua Redman and his quartet, and the reggae-funk Afro-Cuban mix of the Chicago-based band Funkadaisy. Visit KrannertCenter.com. For more information. Coming up a little bit later today on the Afternoon Magazine, we'll take a look at the relationship between personal history and political leadership. Our guest for the show, I should say Celeste Quinn's guest, will be historian William Chafe. He teaches history at Duke. His most recent book is titled Private Lives, Public Consequences. It looks at American political leaders from Franklin Roosevelt to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And he'll be talking with Celeste Quinn in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine today. The show itself gets underway at noon Central Time here on WILL. Coming up in the next part of this show, we'll be talking about an American painter that you might not be familiar with, but is one who in recent years has come to be regarded as more and more important. In fact, some people say he maybe was one of the greatest portrait painters the country has ever produced. His name was Thomas Eakins, and we'll be talking about him, his work, his life with Sidney Kirkpatrick. He is an award-winning documentary filmmaker and author, and has now authored a recent, just published biography of Eakins. It's titled The Revenge of Thomas Eakins, so we'll talk about that in the next part of the show. First, though, we'll break for an update on the markets and news. Stay tuned.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and